Blog Talk Radio.
Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me Relationship System, and the very popular 30-Day Love Challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond at every age. Today I'm speaking, and I'm delighted to be speaking with Dr. Jamie Kulaga, a licensed mental health counselor, certified professional coach, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. A frequent mental health expert on TV, she has been featured on Forbes.com, Maria Shriver's blog, and in Glamour, Self, and Prevention magazines, and other places. Dr. Kulaga's passion is to motivate others to live their best life, and she is a living example. Her book, The Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment, Step-by-Step Strategies to Create Work-Life Balance, and her Superwoman workshops empower women to have fulfillment and happiness in their lives. Her website is mindfulrehab.com. So I'm delighted to welcome Jamie Kulaga.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Right. It's just we had a brief moment to speak, and she is a really enterprising person. So I can't wait to hear what Jamie has to say about relationships and how to really create what you want in your life. So, Jamie, let's first begin by you telling us about your background, your training, what led you to create the Superwoman concept and your book and your workshops. So tell us, are you a Superwoman?
Yes, I am a superwoman, and I was a superwoman for the wrong reasons at one point, and we can get into that later. I think, it was a little bit of balancing and juggling and taking on too much, and I got the name Superwoman for all the wrong reasons, and one of the things you'll learn in the book is that all of us are superwomen, two words, but to be a true superwoman, you can say no to things and still be that superwoman, and you can live a fulfilled life and do things for yourself. And that's okay. And so that is, I was a superwoman for the wrong reasons, and now I'm a superwoman, a real superwoman. So that's sort of the journey that the book takes you on. But the way that the book had got started actually was through my clients. I was coaching them on a national platform, but no matter where in the nation they were, they all had one thing in common. They wanted workshops on work-life balance. So I looked for them. I looked in L.A., I looked in New York, I looked in Miami, all these hot spots. But no matter where I looked, I couldn't find exactly what they were looking for. At that point in time, I created the Superwoman workshops. And from those workshops, I saw such success between the women. They were learning to say no and not feeling guilty. They were forming lasting relationships. So at that point, I bundled their successes, I bundled my knowledge and some of my faults, And then we bundled it into the international book now, The Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment. So that's how it got started.
Wow. And what was your original training? What
My background, okay, so I have my PhD in counseling. I'm licensed as a mental health counselor. I'm a certified life coach. And people say, you know, how did you even begin that journey? And sort of, you know, going way back when, you know, my parents had gotten divorced when I was younger, and I was, I want to say, 12, and I'm right in, coming up on my teenage years. And I had this certain vision or value system or foundation of what a family is. And that's just the way that life was for me. This is how a family is. And bad things don't happen when you're married. You work through them. And then my dad left. And it shook everything I ever knew or understood about the world. And a whole new level to the world came to awareness for me, a new reality. And then I watched my mom, who hadn't worked a day in her life. She had no education behind her, and now she's raising two girls on her own with no money in the bank, no job, no education, and she goes and she gets her first job at Subway, and I'm there after school watching her work, and it was a wake-up call for me, and part of me said, I don't want to do that. I don't, if my husband leaves me or my husband dies, or I want to know I can be independent and self-sufficient. So I knew I needed education. Then my value system was shook. So I wanted to understand the mind. Why would someone do this? Or what makes people leave or stay or build a family or not build a family? So that got me interested in the mind. And then I also saw my mom and a lot of the tears, and I would cry with her. And so I said, wait a minute, I might actually have the motivation and someday the power or ability to help other women live a fulfilled life and still raise their families, but still go to school and still get the job that they want and still go to that painting class they've always desired or whatever the heck it is that they wanted to do. Maybe I can motivate them to do that so that they can have a life independent of, you know, of just being a family. Like you have your own life. And that's sort of how it started. And obviously, I went on for my education, and here we are today, and I'm living what I thought at 12 and a half years old.
Wow. I am hearing something in what you were talking about, when you were saying about women wanting, you know, to take the painting class and raise the children and get the job. It can't necessarily all be done at the same time. Sometimes
right.
You're doing one thing, and something else has to be placed on the back burner for a while.
It does. It does. And one of the first things that I talk about, whether it's in a coaching session or when you pick up the book and you start reading it, right in chapter one, right from the beginning, you're going to learn about life roles. So everybody out there, I encourage you to create a list of all of your life roles. So this is more than just, you know, spouse, parent, employee. This is also you're the dog walker, you're maybe the family chauffeur, you're the laundry doer, the grocery shopper, the PTA parent, yada, yada, yada. You create this list, and typically we have between 15 to 25 life roles. Once you see all those life roles listed out, you circle your top five, only five. Make sure that you're on that list, and then you have four more to go. Those top five life roles, you want to give 100% dedicated time to. So that doesn't mean you forget everything else on your list and only those five get your attention. Rather, what that means is that when you are with one of those top life roles, you are present in the moment 100% giving dedicated time. So instead of 4 hours with the kids, you know, cleaning and watching TV and opening up Facebook and scrolling through your phone, you might be on the floor playing Thomas the Train for 25 or 30 minutes. But the great thing about that is they see that as quality and dedicated time. So when you walk away, you're not so guilty, and they're also more accepting of you doing everything else that you have to do, like that painting class or anything else fulfilling or just regular on your list of things like laundry and dishes and everything else you have going on in your life, your job. So you really want to focus on those top five roles, giving them in the moment dedicated quality time, because when those top five life roles are in balance and you feel confident and you feel confident in them, everything else on your to-do list seems much more easy to do, more fulfilling to do, and you have more energy. When those top five life roles, think about someone, the first thing that comes to your mind, maybe being a spouse is your number one. When that life role is out of balance, how much of the rest of your life seems out of balance? So those are your priorities, and that's where you want to keep your focus so that you can do other things on your list that fulfill you in life.
It's really beautifully described, and that image of children really stayed with me, that if the children see you giving 100% in the moment, then they'll be excited about the next time they can have that 100% attention.
Yes.
Rather than feeling like they can have it every minute all day long.
Right, exactly. And a child wants more quality time. You know, get on the floor and play imagination with them. They love that. They love that, and you're gonna feel it. You will personally feel a difference. Enjoy parenting. So many times in this world of chaos, I mean, we have so many distractions that some of the most beautiful things, like raising children, become terrible for us. It becomes a chore. It becomes, oh my God, we got to go here. We got to go there. Let's rush over here. Let's do homework. Let's get you to sports. Da, 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 da. You're so all over the place that you cannot enjoy a moment. So find the fulfillment in these beautiful things in life that we've chosen to take on. Let's go ahead and refine the fulfillment in them. And it doesn't have to be all day, every day, because I know that's not realistic. I'll give you an example of one of my things. I was terrible at one of the things that I most value, and it's an old tradition, is eating dinner with the family. And I made that promise when I was younger, and that felt like it was ripped from me, that I was going to have dinner with my family. And as I'm building the business and I'm building the book and all these wonderful things are happening, I'm finding that I'm not home at 5 o'clock. I'm home at 9 o'clock. And so I was comparing myself to Miss Jones, whoever she is in the world. I have this idea that Miss Jones eats at 6:30 and her kids are dancing with sugar plums in their head by 8:30 at night, sleeping in a far-off land. And I wasn't able to do that. So my husband was eating dinner with the kids, and I was missing that every night. And I said, wait a minute. I can bring this. I can have dinner later. It's okay. I can bring the excitement to raising children back. And that's spending time with them, quality time. So, and dinner was what they loved, and dinner was what I loved. So there were several months, people are probably cringing out there, that we had dinner at 9 o'clock at night just so that we could have our family dinner. My kids loved it. I loved it. It worked for our family. So find ways, maybe outside of the traditional, this is how it's done, to make your family work, or your spouse work, or your life work, for you based on your reality.
To really put that priority, because I also see a lot of women will give the priority to the children and really ignore their spouse. And the
so
guy
true.
Starts really neglected. That's a very common thing. I've had a lot of men come and talk about that in counseling. So each person has to find a way that works for them and not the traditional way, whatever they
Absolutely.
Think.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. Not the traditional way, and I have that with men too that come in, and they feel very, you know, second or third or fourth place. And a lot of times as women we feel guilty, and that's why we can't rip apart away from our children, because they're supposed to be the priority. But you can have a life outside of your children, as long as when you're with your children, you're giving them that dedicated time and you're actually spending time with them. That when you know you've satisfied them, it's okay to hang out with the spouse and have alone time, or go to that painting class, going back to that. So it really goes down to, you know, giving that quality time so that you don't feel so guilty, so you can enjoy other things.
Another quality that I had heard years ago is that the spouse is the most important unit or person, and then
yep.
the children are secondary, so that the children see a beautiful relationship.
I have heard that too. Yes, yes, I have heard
that
too.
I don't know how easy that is, but that's really valuable.
It is valuable, and you know what? It's so hard for people to, especially women, to believe in that sometimes, since their children are their everything. So my role is never to say what's right or wrong. I don't ever say, you know what, you really should put your husband first because your kids are going to leave and da-da-da-da-da, and I could come up with all these other, you know, or I could go on the other side and say, no way, your kids need to be first, da-da-da-da-da. But more importantly, they're both top life roles. That's what we need to know. They're both, you don't have to put a number one or number two because you love them in different ways. They are both a top priority. So start giving them the quality time and you can enjoy both of them.
Wow, that's really beautiful. But to give them that priority, that's the important thing.
Exactly.
So the next question I'd like to ask is, what have you found to be the biggest challenges for women who are trying to be superwomen and trying to do it all and have it all?
Oh, yes, and I went through it myself, and I've seen my clients go through it, and maybe someone out there, this will speak to you. But saying no has been one of the hardest things for women that I've noticed so many times. You know, when you say yes, you are satisfying what we are, which is people pleasers, right? So
yes.
I say yes, I see that smile on your face, I am happy, you are happy, but I walk away with so much more responsibility and another life role. And that might not be one of my top life roles. I can't add that to my plate right now. When you say no, the payoff is in the end. So you get someone that might be a little bit irritated with you or frustrated with you, but you're walking away with less responsibility and more control. When you say no, that does show a sense of confidence and self-control. So many times we fear saying no because of a loss of an opportunity. So, oh my gosh, I can't say no because if I say no, he's not going to come to me again and ask me if I want to do X, Y, Z. So what I challenge everyone out there to say when you do say no, is instead of saying no and throwing up your hand in their face and walking away, you can say no and then offer resources subsequent after the no. So something like, wow, Mark, thank you so much for bringing this, you know, project to me to complete. I would love to do it, but I can tell you, you deserve 100% time, and I don't have that right now. But I do know, and then you can say, hey, you know, so-and-so over in the next division, they've been, you know, dying for an opportunity like this. Let me reach out to them and see if they would like to take this over. Or here are some resources that I can email you that might help you get jump-started on the project. Because typically when you say no and you're the yes person, now the person on the other end asking you that has this request is like, anxiety-ridden. Who am I going to turn to? How am I going to start this? Where do I go? I thought this person was going to do it. So you have to find a way to almost kind of reduce that anxiety that's going to stem from you saying no. And you probably earn credibility because you're going to show how many resources that you do have, and it's going to show a sense of confidence too.
Wow, that's a lot. We think just it's such a small deal, yes or no, but it really isn't. Warren Buffett said when they asked him, what's your one secret to success, that was his secret, saying no more often than other people.
Think about it. I mean, if you just take a moment to kind of sit back and reflect on how many yeses you may have said in the past month that you really didn't have to say yes to, whether it's big things or small things, our plate would be a lot less full, and maybe we could enjoy the fun parts of being a mom or a spouse. Maybe we can go for that exercise class or that painting class or go sit by the water because we'd have a little more free time. So, and by the way, if you do get free time,
at a holiday dinner, I said yes to this huge piece of cheesecake that I really didn't want or need.
Wait a minute. I like cheesecake. So that's going to I'm going to have to work on that. I'm going to have to work on saying no to that one. But, you know, and then, too, one of the most important things to everybody out there is if you do finally learn to say no and you found yourself with some free time, enjoy that free time. So many times we try to then create, like, oh, my God, I have nothing to do. I have to create something. So we create another project, or we end up saying yes to something just to fill that time. If you have downtime, do not feel guilty. Enjoy it. Enjoy it because your life is going to go right back to 60 miles per hour or 120 miles per hour in the very near future. So just enjoy your 10 minutes of downtime.
Wow. Great pointers, great hints. All right, so another question. What types of goals are women trying to achieve, and how do you help them? I know that you talk about SMART goals, so just explain that.
Yeah, okay, so when you personally set goals, you want them to be SMART, and that's actually an acronym for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. So what that means is if you want to lose weight, you don't want to say something like, I want to lose weight. That's specific enough. Make it measurable and realistic. Make it very specific. I want to lose 35 pounds by April of 2016. That's something that you can measure and track and see your progress each and every day or each and every week. And you make it realistic. It's not like you want to lose, 15 pounds by the end of next week. That's not realistic. And if you make one mistake, you're just going to be like, okay, I'm done. I clearly can't do this. And it's such a it defeats your confidence. So be very realistic in your goals. So many women out there are trying to advance and maybe go back for that MBA. Let's say you want to go back for that. If you're a single mom with you got two kids, you're working the full-time job, getting an MBA in 2 years the traditional way probably is not going to work for you right now. So don't set yourself up for failure. If it takes you 3.5 years to get that MBA, at least you got that MBA. So, enjoy the journey of getting it and achieving your goal. And it's not going to be easy. It's not just going to be that 2 year period or that 1 year period or that week period. It might take you longer, but don't get discouraged. At least start, because in 3 years, 3 years will go by, and you will look back and you will say, if I would have stuck to it, maybe I couldn't go as fast as I wanted, but I could have done it. So be realistic in your goals. So anyone out there that's setting them right now, try to follow that SMART acronym as you set them, and you make them more achievable. So that's my little tip in setting goals.
And then what tools do you find helpful for tracking these goals?
I do a couple different things. For me personally, I take a huge piece of wrapping paper and I cut it off the block and I flip it to the white side and I post it up on my bedroom wall. I have one whole wall that has nothing on it except this piece of paper. And I take the piece of paper and I'll divide it into about 5 different sections. So one will be personal financial. One will be, maybe it'll be the book. One might be the business. And then one is myself, and I have goals that I put for the month under each category. And I'll either use a thermometer, and I will color up. Let's say my personal financial is to save X amount of dollars this month. I will, every time I hit, let's say, $100, I color it up a little, and I color it up a little. Maybe I want to read 3 books this month, let's just say. So I'll have books, and then I'll put 3 boxes, and then I'll check off a box every time I read a book or how many pages I read. And then every morning when I get up, it instantly gives me a direction for my day. I say, okay, here's what I still need to accomplish, and it shows me my priorities and my focus for that day. And then when I go to bed, I see all the check marks, I see the progress, and I say, wow, Jane, you're doing really good. You know, you're succeeding in a lot of different areas. You're not there yet, but look at, you're moving up. You can see that in every area. So it's very motivating and inspiring, and those would be the tools that I would encourage you to use. Would be that thermometer or checking off boxes. As long as the mind is consistently seeing progress, it's happy and it's going to keep trying to go for that. It wants to close the gap. It wants to reach the top. It wants to achieve the goal. So, anything that you can do to visually see is important.
You're also saying that someone needs to take some of these actions because
Absolutely.
You start to see you're not checking anything off if you're not taking any actions.
You're right, absolutely. And don't you want to see progress? I mean, it feels good. It feels good to go to bed at night and be like, wow, look at how much I've succeeded, and this is in the month alone. And then I encourage you to save all of those pieces of wrapping paper and maybe shove them under your bed, and at the end of the year, open up January's and say, oh, my God, I wanted to, my goal was to do, for example, for me, my goal was to do one book signing, and now here I am, I've done 20 this year already, you know, but it started out with just one. Or maybe you're the person that's like, oh my God, I could never save money. My goal, you know, in January was just to save $25, and now it's December, and, you know, I've saved $1,000. It's amazing to see when you put your mind to something, how you will really achieve it if you can see it and believe that it can happen for you.
And I hear such excitement in your voice when you talk about this. So
I do.
More.
Don't get me started.
One more question along the same kind of lines, I think, that you talk about bucket list challenges. What are those?
Yeah.
And how do you handle that?
Okay, so we all know what a bucket list is in general, but mine's a little bit different. When we create a bucket list, it's typically like you want to go back for that degree, the MBA, the PhD, something like that. And then it's like this list of places you want to travel to. And, well, that's beautiful. We are all not millionaires or billionaires, and we cannot spend our life traveling to 85 different islands. It's time-consuming and it's costly. So what I encourage you to do is put bits of fulfillment and happiness in your life all the time. So maybe you've wanted to try horseback riding. Maybe you've wanted to try paddleboarding or kayaking or hot yoga, or you did want to take a painting class or whatever that might be. Those things need to go on your bucket list too, because unfortunately, you know, the 5 years it might take for you to save for that trip to France, you don't know if you have 5 years to go. So why not between now and, you know, this weekend or now in the end of this year, have like 4 or 5 different wonderful, beautiful things you've never tried that you can experience. So while you should save for that, going back for that degree and traveling to these beautiful places, be sure that you're also doing things, whether it's weekly, monthly, or at least quarterly, of something new, a new experience that you can enjoy, whether it's by yourself or with your family. So it's really that bucket list is about adding bits of happiness and fulfillment through all of the time, not just, oh, this will happen in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years down the road. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, a wonderful way to look at things, to put that enjoyment in right now and do those things that you put off or that you thought I'd like to do and you just didn't bother. You think they're not important. All you want to focus on is that degree or something, but these other things bring you a little bit of pleasure in the moment.
Exactly.
This may be a little bit off. I think this might be the last question. We're getting to the end. You talk about turning your anger into something you love to do. So are superwomen angry? And how do they turn it into something that they want to do?
I don't think all superwomen are angry, but I do think that we have times in which we're frustrated, irritated, and angry. Yes, I would find it hard to believe that no woman has ever been angry. But when you have those bouts of anger, instead of ruminating, dwelling, or maybe even being vengeful at times, take that anger, because anger is a ball of energy. And you can take that energy and ruin yourself or somebody else, or you could take that energy and thrive with it. So if you have any type of anger, say, oh my gosh, I have this big ball of energy. What am I going to do with it? And maybe you sit down and you start writing that book you've always wanted to write, and you just put your hand and you are just almost like, it's like a journal. Or maybe you get out and you start running and you're like, you know what, I can't believe he left me, are you kidding me? And you make your body the hottest and the sexiest and the greatest you've ever felt in your life. But, you know, you don't want life to pass you by opportunities and success as you're sitting there dwelling in anger. There's a quote that says something along the lines of, what is it, anger? Anger is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. So you're drinking the poison. It's only hurting you. So take that anger, women out there, and men, and channel it for something healthy and inspiring, and you are going to thrive at it, because anger is a ball of energy that can push you forward. So use that to move forward and not backward.
Wow, I love that. That's a great way to look at anger and what you can do with it. So, yes. Jamie, can you tell us how people can get your book and how they can get in touch with you or sign up for one of your workshops?
Yes, absolutely. You can go to mindfulrehab.com, M-I-N-D-F-U-L, rehab.com, and you can find all the information on workshops. In another week, you're going to see these awesome 15-minute workshops that we're going to have that just put you on this fierce track. It's awesome. And then more workshops, the book, anything that you need to know, counseling, coaching services are on there. And then, of course, you can go to your local Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or Amazon.com to get the book as well.
Wonderful. It's been absolutely delightful speaking with you today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I could just go on and on, so you just have to cut me off and shut me up.
But you're fun to listen to. You have such enthusiasm, and you're really helping a lot of women to enjoy life more.
Thank you.
So
I appreciate that.
I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond and Be Happy and Healthy. If you are ready for love, join the 30-Day Love Challenge. You can find the link at my website, drericagoodstone.com. Hire me to speak at your next event. Find my loving books at amazon.com and smashwords.com. Look forward to speaking to you again in the next session.